Okay, some of you have been in church for a little while. Some of you since about 7 o'clock this morning. We're grateful that you're here. Ben Ball, you still out there somewhere? Hey, do we need to switch over to air? Go ahead and switch it over, would you? I don't want anyone going to sleep. I know some of you have been here quite a while. I'll tell you what Henry IV told his fifth wife. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you too long. But I know the Lord has a plan for us today, and thank you, choir, for your part in that. And you should be able to find your outline in the bulletin if you got a bulletin. And take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And look at verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 12. Now, if you found that, say amen. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. Now, if we give this message a title today, I'd say, what would we do if there was no Easter? Without Easter, there's no Christianity. Without Easter, there's no eternity. Everything hinges on the resurrection. All of life, you've been witnessing it these last few weeks. You've been witnessing the spring. You've been witnessing the dogwoods and the redbuds and the flowers coming up and the grass turning green. You've been witnessing the resurrection. And without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's no eternity. There's no Christianity. And so, as Paul writes his letter to the church at Corinth, he emphasizes this wonderful doctrine of the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, and if so be that the dead is raised not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised your faith is vain. You're here for nothing. You're yet in your sins. Then they also, now pay attention, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ, those that have passed away before us, they're just perished. Nothing. A zero. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you can be seated. If we'll move back in 1 Corinthians 15 and look at verse 3, we see Paul laying out the gospel, the true gospel. So I have this great fear that there's been such a watering down of the Word of God that folks miss out on the gospel. And they begin to believe that you can just believe anything and be saved. You can just believe anything and go to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. A lot of folks, they think that when the Bible says work out your own salvation and with fear and trembling, that means that you decide how you go. Well, the Bible is the one that tells us how that is. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." So here we're beginning to talk about the basics of Christianity, the basics of salvation, how an individual comes to know Christ as their Savior, how they change their destiny from hell to heaven, how their life is changed from that of death and destruction to that of eternal life, and that Jesus said that you might have life more abundantly. He died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried. So He's beginning to test our faith now. The fact that He came, there's been lots of folks come. Even some have come and said that they are the Christ, and whole religions have been started over those who have come and said that they were the Savior, that they were the Christ, that they were that was going to deliver the world. But He says that He was buried. And He was buried according to the Scripture. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So here He is saying that it is according to that was already prophesied about Him. Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. He's quoting here Hosea 6 and verse 2, that Christ, that the center of the gospel is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I was preaching in Jackson County Jail once, and they would allow the prisoners to come out of those individual cells, and they came out into a place called a day room, and it was a very difficult place for me to preach. For one thing, in those days they allowed the prisoners to smoke. And the smoke was so thick that you could hardly breathe. And it was just a very difficult place to preach. But I delivered the message. And one of the individual prisoners wanted to talk to me after I preached. And I asked him about what he believed about Christ. I said, "Do you believe that Christ came and died on the cross?" He said, "I do." I said, "You believe that He was buried in a borrowed tomb?" "I do," he said. "And then on the third day He arose." Oh, he said, "I can't believe that." And I said, "Well, then you can't become a Christian." And folks, that's the truth of the gospel, is that you cannot be saved without believing that Jesus Christ rose again. Father Time met pale King Death sitting by a tomb. "Hello, old friend. I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom." "You might say that," sly Death replied. A smile lit up his face. "Inside lies that Jesus man who said he'd save the race." "And you, Time, why are you so stopping here? Don't you have things to do?" "Oh, I come each day to draw the veil and let the morning through." "Say, why are you watching just one grave with all your vast domain? Looks like you'd be out rambling around and smiting folks with pain." "Well, this one's something special. He challenged me," they say. "Said he would rest here just 3 days and then stand and walk away." Now, I'm the conqueror, you know. They don't talk up to me. When I step in to cut them down, it's for eternity. I can sure testify to that, responded Father Time. I haven't seen one shake off the dust since you've been in your prime. Well, I've got other things to do. I must be on my way. I'll see you when I come back again to make another day. So Time went on up the hill and bid the sun to rise and left Death standing by the tomb looking strong and wise. The next day Time passed by again and said, "How are things?" "Kind of quiet," Death replied. "I'm starting to get weary. I won't be here when you come by about this time tomorrow. I'm anxious to be on my way to spread some grief and sorrow." Now, Father Time was quite surprised when he came back to see Death quivering on the ground in frightful agony. His eyes were set, his throat was marked, his clothes in disarray. "What happened, Death?" asked Father Time. "What makes you shake this way?" Death pulled himself up on a rock and, looking sick and humble, hung his head and wrung his hands. And Time could hear him mumble, "Was sitting here before the dawn, about to take my stroll, when all at once the whole wide world began to reel and roll. That rolling stone jumped off the door and skipped on down the hill. I saw him standing in the door. He didn't move or speak, just looked at me, and all at once I felt so tired and weak. He came and got hold of me and threw me to the ground. He put his foot here on my neck and took my keys and crown. Two angels came to talk with him. They glistened like the sun. And as they passed the garden gate, I heard them say just then, 'He said to free the captives and give gifts to men.' Time and Death met once again off yonder by the gate. 'It's good to see you,' said Old Time. 'I've been wondering about your fate.' 'I'm just a lowly servant now. There's little time to roam. I'll just push open this old gate and help the saints get home.'" You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he made it possible for all of us to rise from the dead. If there is no Easter, the Bible says here that your faith is vain and you're yet in your sin. We might as well, as the disciples said, just go back fishing. Look with me at John, the 21st chapter. You remember that story? The resurrection had taken place already. Jesus had risen from the dead. The disciples had gotten the message. He'd been seen of many people. And then there must have been a lapse in time. We have a tendency to forget great events sometimes. So the Holy Spirit had not come yet. There was this time from the resurrection until the ascension. And Peter says to the other disciples, "Let's just go fishing." And so in verse 3 of chapter 21 of the book of John, Simon Peter saith unto them, "I'm going to go fishing." Then they say unto him, we'll just go with you." That's Lanny's throwing a little translation of his own in here. "And they went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing." Now I want us to pause right here just for a little bit and talk about your life with Christ. talk about where you are at with Jesus. Because if you are not following Him, you're not catching any fish. Do you remember the passage? The scripture said that if our trust in the Lord in this life only, if we only have religion, if we do not have Him living in our heart, if there's no resurrection, if Jesus is not alive and well in our life, and in things that are going on in our life, we are of all men most miserable. You're not catching any fish. I'm not catching any fish. You see, life is never the same after the resurrection. It's never the same after the resurrection. If it's the same, there's something not right. There's something not going on that should be going on. But when you invite Christ into your life as Savior, everything's changed because He's alive. Did you know? He's alive. And so everything has changed. And it's not a matter of going fishing and not catching fish, because when the disciples went out, and these were seasoned fishermen, these were guys that knew all there is to know about fishing, and yet they didn't catch any fish. Kind of disappointing, isn't it? My grandsons went fishing yesterday. I heard they didn't do very good. Didn't catch many fish. Life's a little disappointing like that. They didn't catch any fish. But because the resurrection is real, and because Jesus is real, and because He rose from the dead, and because He lives today, that changes everything in life. So as they fished, there was somebody standing on the shore. And if you'll look up some of these translations, this is real. Now some will say, "Sirs, have you caught any fish?" But if we would really bring it down to what it says, He has just spent 3 years with these guys. I mean, He's close to them. He loves them. Of course, He loves us all. But He loves them. They love Him. He stands on the shore and He says, this Lanish translation, "Hey buddies, you boys caught anything?" "Not a thing." "Cast your net on the other side." And the Bible says that they put their net on the other side where He told them to put the net, and they got such a catch of fish that they couldn't pull the net in. Matter of fact, they had them counted. They counted them. These had to be fishermen. They counted them. They got them out on the bank. They didn't say they were just a bunch of fish. They, what was there, 154 of them? 153, to be precise. They counted them. It changed everything. It changed everything in their life. It will in your life. It is not a fairy tale. It is the real thing. Jesus has risen from the dead. And then He mentions one more thing. Paul mentions another thing in this passage of Scripture. He says, what about your loved ones? I have a graveyard not very far from my house, and if the Lord does not come before Gwen and I leave, that's where they want us, where we want them to plant us, somewhere over there at Carrollton. Well, you could walk around that graveyard and you'd see different inscriptions on that, on those gravestones. Some of them would say rest in peace. Some of them would have a scripture passage on them. But all those who are Christians that are buried in that tombstone, buried in that graveyard, are expecting to be raised from the dead. They're expecting their bodies, their spirit's already going to be with the Lord. They're expecting their bodies to be raised one of these days. And if the scripture's true, and I believe it's true, that that's going to take place. And Paul said, if the resurrection's not true, that's for nothing. No different than a doorknob. No different than trash. It's just cast out and buried in the ground. If there is no resurrection, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead. Let me show you one more passage. 1 Thessalonians. I think that's in this Bible. It's new and I'm having a little trouble with it. Doesn't open up real good. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. And look at verse 13. And he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about folks that have passed away. He's talking about your loved ones here that have already passed. I've got lots of them. I'm beginning to get, probably already there. You know, I hear old people talk about that there's more on the other side than there is on this side. More people I know on the other side than there is on this side. I used to hear Lyle talk about that, and I'm beginning to get to that place where I know more folks on the other side than I know on this side. So it's talking about your loved ones here that have passed away. And he says, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, now here it is, here is the kicker. Here's where the rubber meets the road. If we believe that Jesus died, and here it says, and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He did rise. So all these things are true because he did rise. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I'm not going to charge you for this, by the way. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. Did you get the doctrine there? Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Go ahead and ask me. He lives within my heart. Now this doctrine is good. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading. Listen to this. Through all the stormy blasts. You got any of that going on in your life? I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives salvation to impart. Now go ahead and ask it. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I like this last verse. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. That's what I'm trying to do. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Does He with you? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives within my heart. Does He yours? Does He yours? He could today. I'm going to ask our song leader to come and our pianist to come. And I'm going to ask you the most important question that you've ever had asked in all of your life. We talked about those individuals that had gone to the graveyard. And Paul said, if there's no resurrection, they're just dead. But because there's a resurrection, when they die, they go to be with Jesus. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity at? Well, you can, by simply asking Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. There wouldn't be any better day, any better time.